Chapter 2. Tim had laughed when Catherine told him she was stepping out for some air.
"You don't even breathe," he said.
"Well, fuck him. Why should she even bother reporting her comings and goings anymore? Nobody ever consulted her before making decisions. Just stuff the bitch in a bag. Toss her a rabbit from time to time." She beat the air with her leathery wings, climbing higher into the sky. What the hell were they doing back in Nerd World? She wanted so badly to be angry with her brother and his idiot friends, even if she knew in her cold, dead heart that everything they'd done was to protect her. They'd killed her fiancé, Millard. Sure, he'd killed her and magically coerced her affection, but Tim didn't even listen to her objections. They killed Gin Fizzle. Sure, she'd been trying to kill him as well, but they didn't even let her say goodbye. And now they brought her back here in a fucking bag, without even asking her opinion on the matter. Sure, the bag was only there to keep her out of the sun, but she still wanted to punch something. The mountain grew closer as she flapped. Millard's keep, her home, from most of her previous stay in this world, was a jagged silhouette against the moonlit clouds. She emitted a screech as high and loud as her dire throat could force out. A second later, the image formed in her mind as clear as if she was seeing it with her eyes. At least 24 shambling corpses guarded the keep, still obeying the command of a master who had long since turned into dust. They'd do nicely. Spotting a relatively zombie-free landing spot, Catherine changed from her dire bat form to her half-elven form about 10 feet from the ground. She hit the ground harder than expected and skinned both of her knees. No big deal. They'd heal by the time she got to her feet. But she really needed to work on that entrance before trying it in front of anything living. The nearest zombie was on top of her before she could stand up. A farmer, she judged, by his torn, decaying clothes. He lunged toward her, his dried, pruny eyeballs pointed in opposite directions, both arms raised to strike. She drove her heel up into his crotch, sending him flying onto his back. That was mildly satisfying. She tried to do that martial arts move where you spring from your back to your feet in one fluid motion. She had the strength and dexterity for it, but lacked the knowledge of exactly how it was done, so she spent a few seconds flopping around like a fish before giving up and standing the conventional way. Meanwhile, the zombie got to its feet like a marionette in the hands of an unskilled puppeteer. Keeping aware of the other approaching zombies, she judged that she had sufficient time to enjoy the first one properly before she had to start fighting for real. The zombie she'd kicked in the dick stumbled toward her, snapping its jaws, its bone and muscle tissue showing through holes in its rotting skin. Catherine cocked her right arm back, then let her fist fly as the zombie came within range. She savored the crunch of bone as she punched through its face, taking its head clean off above the lower jaw. Now that was satisfying. Catching the collapsing zombie by the wrists, she spun around, making 2 full rotations before connecting its foot with the head of the next one that got too close. She let go of the body, temporarily putting 2 more approaching zombies on their rotting asses, then charged into the horde in a whirlwind of fists, elbows, and feet. She punched through sternums and skulls, cracked pelvic bones with kicks so hard they should have shattered her own bones.
"I am not a piece of luggage!"
she shouted into the face of a zombie she held by the throat. It opened its mouth wide and reached for her with its dried-out tongue.
"That's fucking disgusting!"
She grabbed a second zombie by the throat and smashed their 2 heads together. After she uppercutted the head off of the last zombie standing, Catherine stood back and surveyed the carnage. There was no way she was ever riding in a bag again, only to be pulled out at the convenience of others. She was a motherfucking badass. The bodies were literally piled on top of one another, and she felt like she could go 10 more rounds. A few of them had gotten in some lucky punches or bites, but her skin was entirely clear of bruises or scratches. Her dress, however, was a different story. The thing was done for. Perhaps she'd underestimated just how few zombies had gotten in a lucky bite after all. No matter. Millard had spoiled her during her stay here. She had plenty to wear. The main entrance to the keep was too secure for her to break through, so she turned into a bat and flew in through her old window. Strange as it was, it reminded her of high school, sneaking back into her room at 3 in the morning after making out with Tommy Hodges. Ha! What a fucking loser! Catherine's room was just as she left it. The open closet showcased a number of dresses which Millard had given her, as well as the druid clothes and leather backpack she had entered this world with. Even her bath was still running. The giant, hollowed-out pumpkin overflowed with water, constantly pouring out of a magical silver pitcher. She settled on a black turtleneck sweater and a pair of pants not entirely unlike blue jeans. She'd had the hardest time explaining the concept of blue jeans to Millard, and he'd had at least as hard a time trying to re-explain it to his tailor. There was a pile of horrendously failed attempts sitting in the corner. After peeling off the remains of what had once been a dress, but could now be better described as an assortment of torn strips of fabric glued to her body with zombie gore, Catherine ascended the steps next to her pumpkin and dipped her toe in the bath, then immediately jerked it back. The water burned her skin. She remembered a lesson she'd learned on her first day as a vampire. Do not touch running water. She tipped up the pitcher and waited until the water was still, then tested the water again. It wasn't exactly what she'd call refreshing, but at least it didn't burn. Not long into her bath, the water became murky with coagulated blood and rotted chunks of flesh. That was an unpleasant surprise she'd leave for the next occupant of this manor, as Catherine had no intention of leaving behind a magical pitcher of endless water. That sort of thing could come in handy. After she scrubbed as much zombie gore off of her body as she could, she dried off with some of the worst interpretations of blue jeans, got dressed, and gathered together a few changes of clothes, her bottle of bath salts, and the silver pitcher, and packed them into her bag. Catherine's departure wasn't a sentimental one. She didn't look back at Millard's keep as she flew back toward the city. Her short bat neck didn't allow it. Not wanting to draw any unnecessary attention to herself, she flew back to town in her normal bat form. Her belongings were absorbed into her body during the transformation. The collapsed sewer district was easy to spot from the air. None of the city was particularly flashy by her modern standards, but the CSD stuck out like a burn scar on an otherwise hairy chest. The Horsehead Inn was still alive with drunken, noisy idiots. She wasn't ready to go back in there. Not yet. Part of the reason she'd gone out on her zombie-punching rampage in the first place was that she'd grown tired of hearing all the Twilight jokes. Her annoyance was only compounded by her discovery that, having no bloodstream, she was unable to join them in getting drunk. The beer, the harder stuff, what were they calling that? Rock piss or something? It all tasted the same to her. It was a dull, flat taste she could only describe as not blood. Eternal life just got a hell of a lot longer. Catherine flew to a nearby sycamore tree and found a branch high enough to keep an eye on the inn, but with enough leaf cover to keep herself hidden. Standing up was awkward. She was top-heavy and had to brace herself up against the trunk with her wing in order to stay upright. She sighed. Everything sucked.
"Having a rough night, are we, Miss Catherine?"
said an unexpected British voice. What the fuck? Catherine turned to her left. Julian's big black bird friend was sharing her branch. Judging that the branch would hold her weight, she morphed back into her standard half-elf vampire form. The bird could only understand her if she spoke in a British accent, so she did her best.
"How did you know it was me?"
"Real bats hang upside down," said the bird.
Catherine nodded.
"Good point. What are you doing hiding out in this tree?"
"Just keeping an eye on my master."
He turned toward the inn.
"Making sure he keeps out of trouble."
Catherine followed the bird's gaze and spotted Julian walking hurriedly from the far side of the building. Someone else was walking around from the front side on a course to intersect his.
"Oh, great," said Catherine. "Is that the skank Tim's got the hots for? Did she get a boob job?"
"Boob job, m'lady?"
"Shut up for a second. What's going on here?"
After a little bit of flirty talk, Julian grabbed Stacy by the arm.
"Ooh," said Catherine. "Boy, you better watch that shit. Try to grab me like that, and that'll be the last thing you..." "Oh, snap!"
Stacy turned the tables on Julian, shoved him up against the wall of the building, and pressed her body and face against his.
"Good heavens!" said the bird.
He swayed on the branch and had to flap his wings a little to keep from falling over.
"I'm all overcome with a wave of emotions, which I don't understand. What's she doing to him?"
"I believe that's what your people call snogging."
Catherine had hooked up with an English tourist in Nola a couple of years back, and she picked up a few colorful expressions.
"Is she regurgitating food into his mouth?"
"Ew, I hope not."
When Stacy finally stepped back from Julian, the bird regained his composure.
I must say I'm glad that's over. I feel lightheaded and tingly around the cloaca.
I really don't need to know that.
The sun will be up before long, miss, said the bird. Perhaps it's time you should be getting inside.
Catherine hopped down from her branch.
I'm not going inside. She sat down on the ground.
The bird puffed and fluttered his feathers.
But Miss Catherine!
Shush, said Catherine. I need to concentrate.
She focused her mind on vermin. The sight of a sewer collapse should be crawling with just what she needed. She closed her eyes and waited for the sound of a squeaky army of walking blood bags. What she heard instead was a scream.
Rats!
The voice came from behind the far side of the building. A squat, naked man followed shortly after, his boobs bouncing with each step, and was his junk tucked back? No. On second thought, this was clearly a woman with a bushy brown beard.
Jesus Christmas! They're everywhere!
He almost sounded like,
Come back!
Said a tall man in leather armor from the chest up. Below that, he was struggling to pull up a pair of pants as he stumbled after the bearded woman.
It's just a couple of rats! Come on, Dennis!
Dennis? Holy shit! Were these two the cop and the pedo? Had they just been fucking? That's hilarious. More screams followed, these even more horrified than Dennis's had been.
Jesus Christ!
My eyes! Put some clothes on!
If Catherine didn't want the rats to give away her position, she had to act fast. She grabbed the first couple that arrived and bit their heads off. Just as she was about to suck the life juice out of them, she spotted what must have been the granddaddy of all rats, who was almost as big as her brother. She dropped the rat in her right hand and pointed at the big one.
You, come here! The rest of you, fuck off!
The congregation of rats scattered back out into the alleys and sewers where they'd come from. The big rat approached Catherine and laid down obediently before her. Catherine sucked the blood out of the rat in her left hand, then tossed the body aside as she refocused on her prize.
Roll over!
The rat rolled over, exposing its belly, sparsely covered in gray, bristly fur. The neck appeared to be the least furry part of it. Catherine picked up the rat with both hands, bared her fangs, and tore into its throat. It put up a brief struggle, but she held it firm and greedily gulped its life down her throat. By the time the blood stopped pouring out of its neck, requiring Catherine to squeeze and suck for more, she'd had enough anyway. She set the rat corpse down and lay on her back. Julian's bird was still up on the branch, looking down at her.
Feeling better now?
Much, said Catherine. Sorry you had to see that.
It's quite all right, m'lady. Are you going to eat the eyes?
I hadn't planned on it.
Do you mind, then?
Knock yourself out.
The bird flew down, plucked the rat's left eye out, and slurped up the trail of nerves and veins that followed it. Catherine wanted to tell the bird how disgusting that looked, but figured her own display didn't leave a whole lot of room for criticism. She just turned her head away as he went after the other eye. Merely hearing it made it no less disgusting.
Miss Catherine, said the bird after the slurping stopped, a word about the impending sunrise and your sleeping arrangements.
Catherine picked up the bloodless, eyeless giant rat, held it up against the tree trunk, and punched it in the head until she felt its skull crunch.
Or not,
said the bird, stepping back slowly.
I suppose I'll just leave you to it then.
Wait, said Catherine. I'm going to need your help.
I don't know how I could possibly.
Catherine dropped to her hands and knees, face to face with Ravenous.
Milady?
Ravenous sounded uncomfortable.
Are we about to do snogging?
Ha!
Catherine grinned and rolled her eyes.
Keep dreaming, bird.
She closed her eyes and concentrated. When she opened them again, she was in her giant wolf form. She sniffed the earth. It was rich and moist. It would do nicely. She chose a spot and started shoveling into the ground with her massive forepaws. Within a few minutes, she had a nice big bowl-shaped hole, about 3 feet in diameter and 4 feet deep at the center. Satisfied, she morphed back into her default form. Catherine removed a pair of not blue jeans out of her bag and tossed it into the hole. She strapped on the backpack so that it would be absorbed into her when she transformed again.
I need you to bury me.
Ravenous looked at the hole.
In there?
Yes, said Catherine. And I need you to keep this between you and me. Don't tell anyone where I am.
I won't lie to my master.
Okay, fine, but you don't have to go volunteering the information either.
If you don't mind me saying so, Miss Catherine, this hole doesn't look very accommodating. How flexible are you?
Catherine smiled at him.
Silly bird.
She kissed the tips of her fingers and gave him a light slap on the cheek.
If you have to tell Julian, make sure you tell him not to tell Tim. At least not until sundown tomorrow.
She morphed into her normal bat form and hopped into the hole. Once she had gotten herself snugly inside the pants, she looked up at the bird and squeaked. The sky was just beginning to lighten as the bird shoved wing loads of moist dirt on top of her. The thought of being buried alive had always given Catherine the willies, but now that it was actually happening, it wasn't so bad. In fact, it was the most at peace she'd felt all day.